Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The first case for argument this morning is Woods against the Illinois Department of Corrections. Ms. Leahy.
May it please the court, opposing counsel. In reviewing the recent decisions of this court presenting similar situations, and I'm talking about Rudin, Lees, and Farrell, it was extremely important that the employer had set criteria for the filling of the position, and then whether or not that criteria was followed in making the selection of the person to fill the position. Whether or not the employer followed its procedures also figured into the decision in those three cases. In this case, Mr. Woods had worked at the Department of Corrections in the Bureau of Identification, meaning fingerprinting, for 5 years as a technician. The supervisor position opened at the newly built Lawrence Correctional Center, and Mr. Woods applied. Four persons were interviewed for the position. In the job classification for the supervisor of the Bureau of Identification at the prison, in the job description for that job, and in the posting, DOC stated its criteria for the filling of the position. And key to that criteria were the words, requires 3 years' experience in fingerprinting. Mr. Woods had 5 years' experience at the Robinson Correctional Center. Mr. McSparren, who got the job, stated his experience three different times in three different ways, but at no time did he indicate that he had 3 years' experience. When he went for the interview before Mr. Funk and was asked about...
We aren't a civil service board of appeals. The claim in this case is race discrimination. So what reason have we to think that race was the real reason for the decision?
Well, Your Honor, as I read the Rudin case, the issue at summary judgment is whether or not there is pretext, and the actual motivation and discrimination would be left for the fact finder.
Saying, in other words, you have no evidence of race discrimination?
Oh, Your Honor, following the McDonnell-Douglas approach, yes, because we're contending that the reasons articulated by Funk and the Department of Corrections are pretextual, in that Mr. Woods did not meet the basic criteria for... I mean, Mr. McSparren did not meet...
Are you acquainted with Walker against Abbott Laboratories?
Your Honor, I believe that... I've never been good with names, but I hope I've read it.
Because the plaintiff in Walker was making the same argument that I understand you to be making. That is, if there were stated criteria and they weren't met, then the fact finder can conclude that race was the reason. And we said that as a matter of law, that argument is a failure.
Well, Your Honor, I believe that when you look not just at the criteria, but the actual answers that Mr. Funk wrote down during the interviews, compare what he wrote down to the grades, that's a very different situation. For example, Your Honor, this is a very important position in the prison. We're talking about fingerprint classification and identification. When
that's
asked...
a civil service argument. It's not an argument under Title VII.
Just lay out the facts that you think show that it was pretext. What are the facts?
The first fact is that McSparren had 9 months fingerprint experience. Woods had 5 years fingerprint experience. DOC set the requirement at 3 years. Then we go to the questions in the interview. Mr. Funk asked, do you have fingerprint training in classification, including the FBI and the Henry systems? Mr. Woods said yes, he had that training. Mr. McSparren said no, he didn't have that training. The next question was, have you had training in latent fingerprints? If so, identify the agency. Woods said yes, he had that training. And he pointed out he had it
Counsel,
in spring...
I'm still lost. And this is the kind of argument one would make to a civil service appeal board, and as I've said, that's not the question here. The question is whether the real reason is race. Now, we've said with respect to pretext, as indeed the Supreme Court has said, that the question is not whether the employer was mistaken or whether they failed to follow civil service rules or whether they changed their criteria, but whether they are lying in an effort to cover up race discrimination. And what reason do we have to think that they are lying as opposed to mistaken?
Your Honor, if you look at the answers Woods and McSparren gave in the interview, which Mr. Funk wrote down, and then you look at the scores that Mr. Funk gave, it just screams out as to the phoniness of the grading and the scores. And Mr. Funk did not defend his decision on the basis that Mr. McSparren was more qualified. He simply defended his position on the basis of the scores. And, Your Honor, we believe that in Reeves and in Hicks, the Supreme Court has said that if the jury, the fact finder, concludes pretext, that discrimination can be inferred from that. To go back to that, those questions, Your Honor, McSparren had no FBI Henry System fingerprint training. He had no training in latent fingerprints. Mr. Woods had training in all three of those areas and had the experience. And the third question in that category was, have you held any position that requires typing? And both said yes. Despite the fact that for the first two questions, McSparren admitted he had no such training, Woods and McSparren tied with a 3 score on that basis.
So it's the weight that was given, your argument is the weight given to the experience that was, that shows the motivation?
Yes, Your Honor. If you look at the first two sections of the questions that were asked during the interview, training and experience, it's knowledge and experience, and then training and skills. And those two sections of questions accounted for 55% of the weighted score. And if you look at the answers that were given that Mr. Funk wrote down, and then you look at the way he graded it, it's impossible to arrive at those grades. We have 3 questions in the training category. 2 deal with the latent fingerprint and the FBI fingerprinting training. McSparren says no, he had no such training. 2 of the 3 questions, he answers no. Woods answers yes. The 3rd question, they both have typing experience, and they tie in the score. That's virtually impossible. Any reasonable person looking at that would say that that is dishonest scoring for those categories. I think it's also important that it is the Department of Corrections that set the standards and set the criteria for this particular position. And it was the Department of Corrections that did not apply its own requirements for this position. And I must stress that this is an important position in the prison system. I see that I'm running into rebuttal time, and so thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Ms. Leahy. Ms. Witcher.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the Court. Summary judgment was properly granted here on Woods' Title VII and equal protection claims for the point that we've been discussing. The lack of sufficient evidence to establish that the decisions made about who was promoted to the ID supervisor position were based on lies and pretext. The reasons articulated by the department for why Mr. McSparren got the job instead of Mr. Woods were that CMS, a separate agency, evaluated the applications for a grade for this position and determined that each were well qualified. As it usually does under the law, the department had to interview all of those who were in the highest category. Here, those who scored A grades. Upon interviewing all 4 people who received A grades, and the scoring of the interviews, which were done according to DOC's standard procedure, Mr. McSparran received the highest score. Mr. Woods, in this case, has not rebutted each of these reasons with sufficient evidence to overcome the burden of summary
but
judgment.
But he's challenged the way the scoring was done as
correct.
It relates to his experience.
That is correct. On one of the questions, Mr. Woods saying that Mr. Funk misscored the questions. That mistake alone doesn't rise to the level of showing that Mr. Funk lied in how he scored the questions and answers. There's nothing here to take what Mr. Funk did beyond the realm of mistake, and we can see this in several of this court's cases. For example, the Blease case, which was cited as supplemental authority. Usually this court is reluctant to get into rescoring and going behind the scores that employers do when they're conducting these types of interviews, and this court has said that in the Blease case and several others when being asked to look behind an investigation or the questions and scorings that employers do.
Well, Funk, though, was the one that gave McSparran the higher score than Woods. I mean, that's how he weighted. I understand there was a reference from CMS and that they had put all four in the category.
Correct. I'm sorry, I don't...
But he was the one that put him in that, gave him that ultimate score.
Right, and that was based on a series of 12 different questions, some relating to training and skills, others relating to supervisory role. There were other categories, planning and organization, that asked questions about what a supervisor would do in certain situations. So it wasn't... The choice of who would become the supervisor was not based solely on the first two categories, knowledge and experience and training and skills. Other things were taken into consideration in the scoring and in how those scores came out.
And so how do you square the three-year requirement of experience that was listed in the posting with the fact that I think McFerrin didn't have it?
Here we have a situation where we have a separate agency who goes through the applications and determine whether people are qualified to apply to the agency for the position. The testimony here of the CMS employee who graded the applications, Mrs. Christman, said that the scale that she looked at said either 3 years of experience in fingerprinting and IDing was required, or 3 years as a correctional officer plus a training course in fingerprinting and ID. We don't know based on the evidence whether Ms. Christman used the wrong scale or if she used the correct one and misinterpreted it. All we know is that three people, Paschal, Rush, and McSparran, who did not have 3 years' experience in fingerprinting and ID work, were given A grades by CMS.
So your position would be that the DOC is bound by the findings of the CMS, even if they made a mistake?
Yes, under Illinois law, under the personnel code, which was cited in our brief, state agencies have to interview those who fall within the highest category of grading for a position given by CMS. Here, four people were given A's, and that was the highest category. So as a general matter, DOC would interview all of those who were given A grades by CMS.
And that A grade could then trump the DOC's requirement. That's basically your...
Not necessarily Trump, but here in the evidence in this case showed that Mr. Funk didn't look behind CMS's grade, and nor was he required to do so. He testified that all he knew that he was to take the questions that were given to him, ask them, transcribe the answers, and then score them after the interviews were over. He said he didn't go back and check to make sure that their qualifications match the position requirement. He assumed they did since they were all there for the interview.
So
furthermore,
is that 3 years experience a basic requirement? If it is, how are they even allowed to take the exam? If it's a basic requirement.
Correct. pardon me. As I've explained, CMS...
I heard your explanation,
okay.
but it doesn't answer it.
Why DOC allowed them to be interviewed, or...
Right. Why? How was this person allowed to be interviewed if he didn't have the 3-year experience?
The personnel code requires state agencies to interview all of those who receive the grade in the highest category that CMS finds. For example, if no one here were given an A grade, everyone received a B grade, DOC would have had to interview all of those who received B grades. So it was a general policy of the agencies based on Illinois law that they interview all of those who fall within the highest category ranked by CMS.
Why would they just call for another exam and get the people who fulfill the three-year requirement if it's that important that they set it forth that way?
There was no evidence here that anyone at DOC did anything other than accept CMS's A grade as showing that these people were met the minimal qualifications for the job. Mr. Funk was given a packet, an interview packet, by the DOC Human Resources and said, interview these four people who have gotten A grades. There was no evidence here that anything Mr. Funk did was pretextual or was based on race. It was something that was done in the general course. Mr. Woods also has not rebutted the statements by Mr. McSparren that he had practiced for the interview and had previous interviews and therefore was aware of some of the questions that were asked and had written down questions and answers that he might be asked, and that Mr. Woods did not practice for the interview at all. Furthermore, the qualifications of Woods and McSparren are objectively comparable, and this court has said that it will not look behind the scoring of interviews when the qualifications are objectively comparable. Here, Mr. Woods was a high school graduate. Mr. McSparren was a college graduate. They had both completed the training course, and they had both worked for DOC for several years. So even if some of the questions were misscored, their qualifications were objectively comparable that a reasonable person would not have necessarily questioned what CMS grading system had come up with in this case. I would ask that this court please affirm the judgment of the district court if it has no other questions. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Wichern. Anything further, Ms. Leahy?
Just to point out a few things. CMS was not the employer in this situation. The Department of Corrections was, and there's absolutely nothing in the law that prevents DOC from setting a higher criteria than CMS might have. And that higher criteria, the three-year requirement, appeared not only in the job classification and in the job description, but also in the posting. I mean, those are official documents of the Department of Corrections, the classification and the position description. Funk admitted that he read the job classification, and that job classification contained the three-year requirement. He said that he read that in preparation for the interviews. As far as McSparren going to other interviews for other positions, he admitted that there was only one question in a prior interview that was similar to any of the questions asked when he applied for the B of I supervisor position. And by the way, that one question was a question when he applied for the technician position. And the technician position is the one that Mr. Woods had held for 5 years. I believe that in the Farrell case, this court said that adherence to the employer's criteria is the best way to demonstrate a legitimate purpose and the legitimacy of the process. I contend this is the flip side of that, and that DOC did not adhere to its own requirements in filling the position. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.